Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Do you ever find yourself dreaming of a cosy evening on the couch? Well, we're not surprised if you have been, because a recent study has found that we're officially spending more time at home than ever before. People are spending an hour or more at home compared to just 5 years ago. And people in the know suggest that the growing trend was hastened by the pandemic. But do we now see our homes as more of a sacred space? Are we decorating and designing them with that in mind? Well, to find out more, I'm joined by architect and interior designer Roisin Murphy, and also Kate O'Driscoll, who's host of Rip It Up, the Renovations podcast, and the person behind the very popular Victorian Rathmines renovation account on Instagram. And it's lovely to have you both here with me this morning. Why do you think it is, Roisin, that people are more embedded in their homes and less likely to go out?
This trend actually started before COVID. Apparently, it started in 2018. They measured that there's an increased time we're spending in our homes. I think it is probably down to computers, the online activity that we're all taking part in now. But then COVID just, you know, really ramped it up, and we were encouraged almost to stay at home. You'll still see it on some of the ads. They're kind of going, stay at home if you're feeling sick. And ultimately, I'm not sure how beneficial it is towards the larger environment we're living in, the cities we're living in, and to our couches as well. Mm-hmm. The actual furniture in our home is like the wear and tear in the house is huge. But it is. There's reports that it is bad for our mental health to stay in our homes too much.
Yeah, but it's really interesting to get your perspective on it, because you don't really need the study. You know, because you see what people are asking for now.
Yes.
What is the difference between then and now?
Okay, well, there's hybrid working, which is, I have to say, it's fantastic, and everybody loves hybrid. I don't think anybody wants to go back to that thing where they're kind of chained to an office 9 to 5, and also it frees up a bit of infrastructure, it changes how the city moves in terms of traffic. But what I'm seeing mainly is people are asking for very interesting things. They're asking for kind of adaptable working spaces within their homes. The living room is now sharing space with offices and places to do Zoom calls. So there's a kind of that thing of breakdown of open plan, so that it's more adaptable, so you can close a place off. And then there is also a really interesting thing for what we see as well, an awful lot of people who are living, there's an increase of kind of people living on their own and couples, mm-hmm. and they're asking to adapt their homes to provide the room to rent scheme. I've had numerous amounts of inquiries about that, or people trying to fund the retrofit schemes, and I find that really interesting, that there's this kind of this sense that people want to open their homes to help with the housing crisis. There's also an increase in people doing up properties, people looking for moving out into towns and villages because they see the hybrid working model, and shopping online as well.
Yeah, and they can be further away maybe from their work. Now, Kate, it's interesting to get your view on this as well, because you are somebody who renovates property. Do you think it's a thing that people are looking more at their homes as somewhere where they spend nearly all of their time?
Absolutely. So I think I'm a bit of a serial renovator, I will say that. But I think the reason I renovated again, or where we're renovating again, is because we were growing out of the home. We designed it pre-COVID. We designed it without working spaces in mind. And we also designed it when we didn't have a family or we didn't have kids. So I think I agree with what Roisin is saying. This ability to divide off rooms now is becoming more important.
But as opposed to the open plan that we all wanted
a while
ago. Yeah,
I think we were all crazy for the open plan in maybe 2000s, 2010s. And now I think people are looking for ways to close off that open plan, because people need more spaces, more individual spaces. Mm-hmm. Families need more rooms to themselves. Teenagers, if they're growing up, want dens. They want a place to relax. And like Roisin said, these rooms have to work very hard now. They have to be an office in the daytime, they have to be a relaxing space at night, they might have to be a den for kids, they might be a guest bedroom. So I think we're asking a lot of these rooms, or these spare rooms that probably a couple of years ago were kind of guest bedrooms slash dumping grounds.
Mm-hmm. Well, you see, maybe it's the influence of Instagram as well. And I know you have the account that I mentioned, Victorian Rathmines. Like, we see so much of other people's beautiful, perfect houses that we can't have the cluttered room that we used to throw everything into and close the door. We don't feel we're allowed to have that anymore, maybe.
There's definitely a bit of pressure on that, but I would say take everything you see on Instagram with a pinch of salt.
I actually totally
I never
agree
show the messy
that.
Side of my no. house on Instagram, and I know some people choose to, but that's just what I like to show on my page. But believe it, there's always a messy side to these houses you see on Instagram. But people definitely are looking at the same four walls, working from home for hours a day now. So they're looking at messy pantries or the drawer that has all the rubbish in it, you know, so they're looking to kind of organize and declutter these spaces and then maybe do custom joinery, things like that, to make these rooms really work hard for kind of the multifunctional purpose.
Yeah, everyone has that messy drawer though.
Everyone, you have to.
It's good for your soul, actually.
I only tackle it when I can't close it anymore, you know, when the sellotape won't sit down in the drawer and I can't actually close it. I think, right, I have to clean it out now. Dining rooms though, and I'm fascinated by this because people wanted a sort of fancy dining area, maybe in their open plan kitchen diner. Less focus on that now.
Yeah, I mean, I do thousands of consultations for the last 20 years, and one of the things that has always really surprised me is that, you know, that idealised kind of War of the Roses living room where we're all sitting around with our water for crystal, and it doesn't happen in Ireland. That we're a very sociable but kind of pretentious people, I feel. You go and you'll say they might have a dining room, but they will use it very sparingly. Most people, the kitchen is the heart of the Irish home still, and it's always at the back of the house. Even if it's a north facing house, people sometimes would sooner move house than put the kitchen in the front of a house. And that we are constantly kind of doing the dining room remains a kind of an isolated space. So I think that people are definitely absorbing that back into the house. They're kind of either turning it into a kid's room, a teenage room, or the effective office. But the dining room is, I think, they did try and tell us it was a trend back a while ago, but it's not. They might be trying to sell us an Instagram. No, it's not a thing.
Mm-hmm. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, our previous house, I had this internal room, so there's no windows in it, and I made it a really dark adult dining space, pre-kids, obviously. And then I tried to work at that during COVID, and sitting in a really dark room in the middle of a house is pretty energy zapping when you're trying to work during the day. Mm. So I tend to agree, unless you have the luxury of having lots of spare rooms and you want this formal dining room, I think you need a room to work a bit harder nowadays.
Yeah, you see, it's so expensive to go out as well. Maybe that's another reason why people are not, you know, and they're staying at home more often.
This is the problem. This is one of the problems. I think I'm a big fan of hybrid. I have always worked from home and gone into offices occasionally, done consultations or worked on TV. So I love the bit of hybrid living. I think I'm allergic to an office, actually. But at the same extent, when COVID happened and everybody had to retreat back into these homes, and we did an awful lot of stuff on gardens as well. The garden became like a second living room in Ireland. It was fantastic, and I'm still addicted to the gardening thing. But it has had an impact on this retreating back into the house, has had an impact, I think, on restaurants and other public spaces that we use, in the sense that we do need to kind of re-engage back in life, I think, a bit more. And even on a personal level, I had done an awful lot of kind of Pilates and stuff online and always had our gym shut down and never reopened. And then I kind of got dragged back into a local gym recently, and I've noticed that I'm doing something I've never done before. I'm going to classes, which I would never have done. And now, just to meet people, I find it really good for my mental health. So I think even with those, you know, an office space that you can go to maybe once a week, that we need to start maxing out that kind of in-between space in our villages and towns and cities to kind of get people back into restaurants, to encourage people to go back out into public life and to support our restaurants. And because I do think if you're so focused on home, it's not good as well. You need to have the kind of your local cafes and restaurants, and it's very difficult for them. I know they're struggling a lot, but I think for your mental health, if you're in your house too much, I think it can be not a great thing as well. So I think we need, as we're kind of doing the hybrid working, we kind of need more supports for the in-between spaces.
Yeah, to make sure that people are out and about in their communities, both for themselves and for the people who are selling the services, right? And to keep the towns alive.
Yeah, and to keep the shops going. I think it'll reduce the cost of living for us as well. The more we go out, you know, it's better for everybody, because if they're thronged with people, but we're seeing a lot of little restaurants shut down. Yeah. So I think people should try and get out and take a lunch break out in your local cafe.
Kate, there is a move to get more people to move into the centre of towns, maybe into the derelict shops and so on. I mean, the people that you talk to who are looking at renovation projects, is that attractive to them at all?
I think so. And I think people want, like Roisin said, kind of that ability to go out to restaurants that are close by and have everything on their doorstep. So, like, I think people are willing to take on these projects, but I think a lot of the time people are underestimating the cost in taking on these derelict homes. So these grants are really, really important. And then there's a little bit of a, I suppose, a disjoint in the time you get the grant to the time you can move in, to the time you can renovate. So you have to have a lot of spare cash to be able to do it one way or the other, or at least be able to mortgage it. So I think, yeah, I think they're attractive, but not without their challenges.
I think you're dead right. I think that, and I think they're trying to restructure some of that so that that money is easier to attain for people. It's like, you know, you have to be quite wealthy really to kind of support the contractor until you get the grant. But I think there's some people who are doing things like opening little shops and stuff down in smaller towns around the country and making kind of living over the shop again. So there's some interesting things happening with people kind of changing their lifestyles.
Thank you both for coming in. Lovely to see you. And it's an interesting discussion and a really fascinating trend to see borne out by both of your experience, Roisin Murphy and Kate O'Driscoll. And don't forget Kate's Instagram account is Victorian Rat Minds if you want to have a look, but you won't see any messy bits of her house. Let's take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.